so real back in the day, and now it's just funny. Grace and peace to you from Jesus, who transforms not only churches, but transforms hearts, our hearts as well. Amen. Last week in Mark's Gospel, Jesus triggers the beginning of the end as he told the religious folks that the Son of Man must suffer, die, be crucified, be raised, and be raised on the third day. This foretelling or prophecy marked a transformation in Jesus' ministry as it sort of set the clock in motion, like the beginning of the end. Recalling it was sort of a deer hunting kind of sermon where he drew first blood, and then it was tracking that trail all the way to the cross, that blood trail all the way to the cross, recalling last week. And then today, just prior to our gospel in John, Jesus changes water into wine at Cana. This is the first miracle, and it's identified symbolically as death and resurrection, where it was the death of the party because it was just water, and then it was life. It brought life to this occasion. New wine, this purification or this transformation of water into wine, just before this story, this gospel narrative. And so in today's gospel, it's the cleansing of God's house. It's a sign of transformation through death and resurrection, through transformation, not only of a church, but transformation of hearts, of lives. And so a transformation or change, what does it mean for Jesus, and what does it mean for us? What does this look like? Well, my daughter and I were on our way up to church last Sunday, and we were going up 371, and we're looking at the lakes there, seeing 371 Bay and then Gull Lake. There were parts of it that were kind of starting to crack because of the wind and stuff like that. And then she said to me, she said, "When do you think the ice will come off the lakes this year?" And normally I have a pretty strong opinion on what I think or when I think that'll happen. But this year I just kind of shook my head, and like without a clue, I was like, "God only knows. It's a tough one to tell." And then I said, "Probably soon. Sooner than normal." Jesus' kingdom is coming soon. Jesus overturns the merchants' money tables there at the temple. They were using this church as a marketplace, a place where they could use the place for gain. And the temple was the place that God was understood to dwell. This was the place where the Holy of Holies was, where God was understood to be in this place, in the temple. And then Jesus said to the religious authorities there, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up." They laughed because they did not understand that Jesus was referring to his own death and resurrection, transforming this temple, because God was understood to be in a place and then into a person, the temple, the body of Jesus Christ. So transforming their ideologies or their understandings from a place to a person. And oh, if you could hear the moans and groans of the religious folks at that time when Jesus was trying to tell them about the temple. They laughed at him. Oh, if you could hear the moans and groans of the lake last Friday and Saturday as I fished the weekend there for the crappie flop. The sounds of the lake were so loud, it's the loudest I've ever been I was actually scared to be on this lake. There was just murmurings and moanings of this lake. There would be bubbles coming up through your hole. There was cracks that were happening where I would actually jump because, you know, typically cracks on a lake are a sign of growth and that the ice is getting healthier. This time of year when ice cracks, it makes you jump. And I was really, really scared on that ice, even though we had pretty dang good ice. There's been high winds. So one day it's coming from the south, one day it's coming from the north. There were all sorts of indicators that made the ice sort of make loud moans, like cool nights and warm days. And it was a lot of changes happening on the weather and in the lakes. This year has just been unusual that way. And so the lakes are transforming. They're sensing that change is going to be happening. But they're still locked up in their icy forms up in this area. But they are making a lot of noise, a lot of moans and groans this time of year. If only lakes could speak. On the very first Passover, you can only imagine the moans and groans heard on that first Passover, as there was a decree sent out to kill the firstborn child in the land. And the angel of death would go and kill the firstborn child in all of the area, except for those where there was blood marked over the door. And the angel of death would pass over the door, and the firstborn child would be spared and would live. And this is the Passover. It's the memory of that occasion and how God delivered people from death and slavery. And so as Jesus came, he would be the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus would be the Lamb of God that marked the end of sacrificial worship. That Jesus would be the final atoning sacrifice, which would be a sacrament for us all, transforming or changing these final sacrifice, the blood lamb sacrifice, into the sacrament for us all. And so Passover is key to this gospel. It starts with Passover, and that is important as it's noted here in John's gospel. It's one of the very most elemental or important parts of Israel's salvation history. And so there are two times in the gospel where the word remembering is mentioned. From Psalm 69, it quotes this in the gospel: "The zeal of the Lord's house will consume me." The zeal for that. And what this refers to is, it's a remembering that if we use the church for gain, that the church will die. And that goes not only for the church back then, but for us as well. If we use it for a marketplace, the temple will collapse. It was a remembering of that scripture some thousand years before. And the second remembering occurs at the end of our gospel, when, after hearing this, the disciples realize that, as Jesus said, the temple is down and then it will be raised, that Jesus was referring to the temple of his body. And this is what was spoken at the end of the gospel. So remembering that church or the temple is not so much a place, but it's a person. That God is on the loose in Christ Jesus, and that wherever two or three are gathered, the Spirit of God is with them also. So it's not contained to a place, a little private spot in a temple. But the curtain of the temple is ripped open and torn in two, and the Spirit is loose. And so this is a huge transformation in how God was thought to dwell and be in the world. So I have this DNR buddy. I just talked to him 3 days ago, and he rescued a man who went through the ice just the day before, like that'd be 4 days ago in Brainerd. He rescued a man who was on a Brainerd area lake. He was an elderly man who happened to luckily be in about 5 feet of water. He went through, and my buddy happened to be right on the lake watching him fish. He went through the ice and was about to hear. But he was so elderly, he had his ice pick and everything. He was so elderly, he was in such a condition that he could not pull himself out. He could not take his pick and didn't have the strength to pull himself out of the ice. And so there he was, helpless. And my buddy, who was a DNR officer, just happened to be right there, threw him a lifeline, and he wrapped it around himself, and my buddy pulled him to safety. Transformation happens when we're in a difficult or dicey or often near-death situation. For Jesus, transforming the temple was a difficult task to do. Could you imagine when Jesus went in there, the chaos that was happening? Jesus does the same for our temple hearts as well. It's not an easy task to do, to transform us. And so for us, transformation often happens when we are, well, on thin ice. When we break through and there's nothing we can do, not by our own strength, we claw and claw and claw and we can't do it. And Jesus comes as our DNR friend. Death, resurrection. That was a stretch. He comes as our death, resurrection friend who welcomes us and who comes to us and throws us a lifeline and rescues us and raises us out of whatever predicament we are trapped in or dying in. And so today, know that Jesus not only transforms churches, Jesus transforms hearts. Let us follow this Lent as we encounter the gospel in a nutshell. That is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And as we hear about the Son of Man being lifted, Jesus foretells and lives out his promises this Lent. We, in return, live into this promise that he is our DNR friend. For he will die, rise for us. With this promise that he will rescue and redeem us, change and transform us, and throw us a lifeline to us in our time of need this Lent and all of our lives. Amen. Thanks be to God.